Hey guys, and welcome to another episode of Geeks at Large. It's me, Megan. and who's this?
M. Shayla, bitches.
Oh shit, roll the music. Top five fucking openings ever. A plus shit, dudes. Anyway, as you may have guessed, Shayla and Megan are back.
Yay!
And if you're a longtime Geeks of College listener, you'll recognize them, hopefully. And if you're not, and you're dumb and you haven't listened to the previous Geeks of College stuff, Megan and Michaela were SCAD students that, you know, were with me and Casey and everyone else. So, and this is Dark Geeks at Large debut.
And
we're live from Heroes Con in Charlotte, North Carolina.
Heroes Con.
Which is probably our first ever convention, like, event thing that we did.
Whoa.
Took us 3 years, you know, whatever, fuck it.
Yeah.
But, for those who don't know, Heroes Con is a big comic book convention. It's pretty big. I don't know. I mean, it's not, this isn't San Diego Comic Con, but, you know, what the fuck is anymore. But, it's definitely focused more on the comics than, like, the TV movies. Even games now, like, I don't know, if, like, San Diego Comic-Con has, like, game shit now, I think.
Maybe.
Like, I want to say they do.
Yes.
Yeah. It's, like, basically everything but comics. There's, like, a little, like, section of the San Diego Comic-Con that's like, oh, yeah, comics are a fucking thing, and this is called Comic-Con. But, yeah, no, Heroes Con is really cool because it's very much, you know, focuses on the creators of books, of the books that you read at comic stands, the shops, all that. So, if you're a comic book reader and you really want to kind of get to kind of mingle and schmooze with, you know, the people that are actually drawing and writing the books, then Heroes Con is for you. And this is going to be just kind of a little recording where we're going to talk about what we've done so far. Currently, this is like the end of day two of 3 days. So, basically, you know, let's just start by saying, like, some of the people that we, like, saw. And, like, now, Shayla, this is your... How many times have you gone?
This will be my second.
Whoa! Veteran.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's got a year on Megan and I.
Yeah.
But,
there's,
I guess,
a lot of different people from last year, too.
Like it's a different experience.
Yeah.
Like, it's not, like, the same people coming every year, okay?
Yeah.
So, like, I know this one isn't done yet. I think you only went to, like, one or 2 days last year?
I went Saturday and Sunday, and that's it.
Yeah, it's Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Yeah.
So, would you be willing to, like, kind of compare them? Like, do you have, one that was better than the other so far?
So far, like, being able to go on Friday, that was nice.
Yeah.
Because it's kind of like everyone's setting up, and it's a little bit more
casual.
Relaxed.
Yeah, it's more casual, I guess. And it's not, not that it isn't casual in general, but there's not quite as many people.
Yeah.
You know, it's just kind of like, let's kind of survey the area, see what's going on. So,
last year it was a little bit hard, it being my first big convention, and the first day I go to is Saturday.
Oh, yeah, we're...
And everybody, it's always the busiest day, there's the most people. I was super overwhelmed because there's a lot of artists that I really liked, so I was nervous.
And they get some good people. Like,
yeah,
that's the thing.
They do.
Like, they don't necessarily maybe like Jim Lee or Brian Michael Bendis or, you know, Brian K. Vaughan or anything, but who knows? They might come another year, you know? I don't know. From the sound of it, it seems like the con just gets bigger and bigger and bigger each year.
It does.
You know, they're
getting... It was bigger than last year by a margin, you know? They have a lot of indie artists, so if you're into that scene, it's like paradise for you, you know?
Yeah, and because they have a whole section they call it Indie Island, and it's basically like smack dab in the middle of the hall.
Yeah.
That's where they have a bunch of more independent creators.
Yeah.
So it's cool. Like, it's cool because they focus on stuff that's superheroes, non-superheroes, yep. independent comics, obviously those vendors.
Yeah.
So overall, it's a pretty cool destination. You got plenty of, like, a lot of our friends that we went to school with. Not people that were on the show, of course, but, like, you know, people we know from the sequential department and stuff,
yeah.
they have their own tables. So it's, like, mm-hmm. it's kind of a nice way, like, if you're, you know, an aspiring comic artist that wants to break into the scene, then,
yep.
you know, crank out prints, crank out mini comics, buy a table or share a table with somebody,
yep.
and bam, you know, you'll have a venue of sorts. Like, mm-hmm. and the thing is, it's, like, and I talked to, you know, people, like, while, like, during this con, just, the thing is, keep your expectations low. If you're definitely a newcomer, don't, like, expect to just sell out of everything. Like, you're gonna have prints, you're gonna have mini comics, you're gonna have stuff. Don't be surprised if you have, like, 5 commissions, you know, rather than, like, 20 or something, like, you know, the big name people. So,
another good thing about it is they'll have newcomers and big-name people kind of across from each other or mm-hmm. next to each other, so it's like you get that kind of intermingling of new talent coming in, trying to get into the industry, and then people that are, you know, established and mm-hmm. well-known names, so you kind of have the best of both worlds in there together.
Yeah, it's basically like spreading the talent out evenly.
It is. And then everybody becomes friends because everyone's friendly.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, because, and I probably said it before on the podcast, but the comic industry isn't as big as people think it is.
Yeah.
You know, it's not the movie industry or film or just film and television in general where, you know, there's, you know, maybe a few thousand that are like really, if that, you know, that are
if
really,
that.
Yeah, if that, that are working, mm-hmm. you know, because there's a lot of people that write, like, a ton of books.
Yeah.
Because as a writer, you can work on multiple books at a time, not so much with an artist. Maybe if you, like, do covers for one thing while you do interiors for another thing, but, now, Megan.
What?
You're game design major, and this,
yeah.
is this, now, you've been to other cons you were talking about.
I went
about.
To one other con, and it was a Wizard World, whatever, of Nashville, which was kind of small and probably shouldn't count as a con.
Well,
I mean, I appreciate it. It was, like, a fun thing to go to.
Yeah.
It was, like, I was working in it, so mm-hmm. I didn't really get to do a lot. I was doing, like, a game jam on the floor, which didn't work out as well as we had hoped, because cons are really distracting, and trying to work...
I would totally expect that, like...
Working at a computer at a con when there's, like...
You'd have to have,
like,
total...
We were next to a Shooter Glider booth, too, so it was, like, animals, and, like, stuff animals, and it was also, I don't know.
There's Sugar Glider shit?
There's Sugar Gliders. They're selling Sugar Gliders that are flying around next to our booth.
The fuck, man?
They're selling them at the con.
What
it's like, you want a squirrel? Here you go.
What the fuck? Alright.
Yeah.
So, like, so you just kind of, like, moderated the
kind of,
game?
Like, well, there was another guy that was, like, head of it. I was supposed to be, like, one of the artists working the table, mm-hmm. but we didn't finish or anything, so, I mean, you know. The thought was really cool, but, like, just the amount of experience that was... I mean, everyone was pretty good, but, like, the experience and that if we were missing a few people that we probably needed, you know, mm-hmm. it was just kind of, like...
Like, I almost feel like...
It was a cool idea. Like, it was like, oh, we'd finish the game, people would come every day mm-hmm. and watch us work, and then the last day they'd be able to play it,
mm-hmm.
but it just didn't
happen. Yeah.
Game jams. It's cool.
Game jams, yeah, they're definitely something better with, like... A more controlled environment.
Yeah.
Because SCAD did a bunch of game jams.
Yeah, when we did the global game jam, which I did this year locally in Nashville, so.
Yeah.
So they're more like...
But you bring up the Wizard World convention, and that's, again, like, that's more of the, as you mentioned, more of, like, the San Diego Comic-Con.
Yeah.
Like, it's almost like those are more catered towards, like, one, they're catered to, like, fans.
Yeah.
And, like... Just fans.
Yeah, because there was, like, no comic... I mean, there was, like, a tiny artist alley, but there was no, like... It wasn't really comic artists. It was, like, normal artists like Prince. You know, yeah. There wasn't really any. Like,
there wasn't like industry people.
I mean, not that I know a whole lot, but there's.
It's like, more like
from what I could tell,
like local artists maybe.
Yeah, and it was even like people selling video game stuff, as in like the Minecraft, those Minecraft books and stuff. There's like some Minecraft book that like I don't know that like is about these kids' adventures in Minecraft that apparently is popular. I don't know. They had a booth, and then like there wasn't, and it was like a bunch of Star Trek people, which was cool, and like Yondu from whatever his name is, it's also in Walking Dead, was there, and the Green Power Ranger was there or something.
Oh yeah, yeah, he was like going around. I think it was like a traveling thing or some
shit. So like there was it was mostly, like you said, mostly like movies, TV, nerdy TV.
Yeah, because
there was an Xbox car that like was a car that transformed into like this Xbox station. It was really weird.
Nice.
It was weird. It was very tiny though. Like,
it's
I mean,
the worst Decepticon.
Yeah. Yes. It was tiny and mostly just.
I have land and.
Yeah.
And online co-op.
Yeah. Oh my God.
So it was more like Star Trek than anything, you know. We don't. I mean, we have a couple other cons in Nashville, but like nothing really big comic con that I know of.
Yeah. Because, there was a similar thing in Cleveland. It was a Wizard World, and it was basically the same thing. And I remember leading up to it, a lot of people were like, oh, yeah, there's, like, a convention happening in downtown Cleveland in our, like, brand spanking new convention center.
Yeah.
And it's, like,
new too.
Yeah, and it was, like, I looked it up, and it's, like, ah, but it's, like, there's people that I'd like to meet, but I'd meet them as, like, you know, a fan and not, like, someone who to network with. Because that's what's cool about Heroes Con, is that Heroes Con is, like, an amazing place to network.
I noticed that a lot of, like, people had, like, portfolios and things.
Oh, yeah, like, well, and that's just kind of a thing, like, in general with conventions, but it just seems like with the way they're leaning more towards film, television, and games and stuff like that, that they're almost frowning upon, like, there's still editors and stuff that you can talk to, but it doesn't seem as, like, kind of casual and friendly of an environment because it's, like, this huge thing. And Heroes Con is, like, in this weird middle ground where it's not tiny, but it's not huge, so it's, like, just right. It's, like, fucking Goldilocks.
Yeah.
Like,
to talk to people.
This con is too big. This con's too small. This con's just right. And it's called Heroes Con. So, where do we want to go from here, then? I guess I could bring up the fact that, like, I did go to a convention in Akron, Ohio, the rubber capital of the world, or something like that. It used to be. Birthplace of LeBron James.
Yay!
And it was interesting going from that to this, because that was basically the same deal.
Yeah.
Where it's like, they brought in artists, and they were pretty decent artists. Like, I forget what his name is. I think his first name is Daryl. He was, like, the creator of Kyle Rayner, the Green Lantern, from the 80s and 90s. Chris Sprouse, who worked on Tom Strong. He did some of the Multiversity with Grant Morrison recently.
Nice.
I guess he's working on, it's not, like, Thor, it's called Thors. Like, plural?
Huh.
I may be wrong. If I'm wrong, say so in the comments and tell me how much of a butt face I am. But I saw him, and Chris Sprouse is, like, one of my favorites, because he's, like, one of those things where he does, like, pretty realistic-looking art, but there's, like, a style to it still.
That's cool.
It's still, like, exaggerated enough, and there's, like, you can look at anything and be like, that's Chris Sprouse.
Yeah.
And I also met Jared Conway,
nice,
creator of The Punisher, guy who killed Gwen Stacy, as it said, on his banner. So, yeah.
That's funny.
He's the original guy who wrote The Death of Gwen Stacy. Yeah, and there's some other cool people, and it was kind of like a nice, like, starter and course for what Heroes Con is.
Yeah.
And I guess, and we should also mention, like, a big kind of draw for us, too, is that it, like, SCAD has a presence.
A big presence.
A pretty big presence. Like, they have a full-on, like, really sizable section. Like, probably, like, three tables worth of shit. Like, where they basically just advertise the shit out of the school. And
professors are there.
Yeah, several professors are there.
Half selling their own goods, half promoting the school.
Yeah, and there's, like, students there who volunteered and shit and stuff like that. So
that's pretty cool.
It's one of the things where they heavily advertise it at the school. And it's something that I always wanted to go to, but for whatever reason, whether it be, like, a family emergency or just, like, scheduling conflicts, I wouldn't be able to go. Like, my entire career, as a student at SCAD, it was just, like, every year I was like, fuck, I can't go. Yeah. And this year I was like, I'm fucking going.
Yay!
Because, basically, the main reason I wanted to go to this convention, because, again, the networking thing, because, I made a mini comic, and mini comics is one of the easiest ways to kind of get your shit out there, because they're nice little portable portfolios. So all you comic artists out there, look into making mini comics instead of necessarily lugging around giant portfolio or briefcase size, whatever, because those can be cumbersome. So I would recommend looking up various techniques, making one. I mean, they're pretty easy to learn the format.
Yeah.
You know, put together, make it look nice. I printed mine through FedEx. FedEx actually, that's one of the things, and this is going to be a little bit of a tangent, but I remember, because I got it at FedEx, and it was really funny. It's a funny story about it, is that the entire process of making this comic was done at this FedEx, from printing out blue lines to pencil and ink over,
mm-hmm.
and like the same like two people would help me, so they kept recognizing me.
Nice.
And like I remember when I finally went in for like the final print, I was like, all right dudes, here, let's do this. And he's like, oh yeah, and they got like excited.
Aww.
And normally they're only allowed to give you like three proofs.
Yeah.
You know, we're like, okay, show me a proof like of what the product I'm gonna get, and they give you three of those, up to three, so you make sure that it's right, that you're getting a good product. And but he was like, you know, fuck this, I'm invested. And like, so we just did as many as it took, and we mix and mashed paperweights and all kinds of shit. So, and it ended up being really cool. I might put a link to like my DeviantArt or something like that that has pages of it. But that was the main reason. And you know, it's probably in a future year I'd like to table. You know, the three of us have already talked about, like, maybe doing something in the future. That'd be really cool. It'd be the next step.
Yes.
Yeah. It'd be nice to have a place to sit down.
Yeah.
Just to sit, to have a place to sit.
Because holy shit, my feet are, like, on fire.
Also, it sucks. A nice hub for people to come see you, too, because a lot of people were like, you're an artist, where are you tabling?
Yeah, that's what they were asking me.
The one girl that had walkie-talkies across, like, the booths. I know some friends would have walkie-talkies, and they would communicate amongst their booths. And
oh, yeah, that was cool.
Yeah.
So, that's the thing. And, like, I guess this could start to lead into people we saw, but, you know, so the idea was, originally I thought that there would be more publishers here, like more editors from
publishers. A little bit last year.
Yeah.
So I felt that, like, it's going to happen again, but it might be, like, certain guests just come certain years.
Yeah.
Or just depends.
They just happen to come.
Because there's some artists that were here last year that weren't here this year.
Mm-hmm.
And I was kind of like, well, I would have liked to see you again, but maybe, you know, some other time.
Yeah, because it always seemed to be advertised at SCAD as more like, this is where, like, editors can be. You know, which isn't true this year, but maybe it's true later on.
Yeah.
So, while getting with editors is probably, like, the fastest way to get a job, because you're interacting with, like, the higher-ups that control shit.
Yeah.
You know, and can talk to, because, you know, obviously there's, like, hierarchies.
Yes.
Like in anything, but especially at this year's con, it's very much like, you know, artists, and networking with artists can be just as good as editors, because, you know, they could just, you know, recommend your stuff to other people. Like, say they have a friend who's a writer and they need a recommendation for an artist, you know, then they can, like, look at your stuff if they keep it. And that's the real importance of a physical portfolio sample, like a mini comic.
Yeah.
So I've been given out, I printed out like 50 copies.
Nice.
I didn't really have any expectation of giving away all of them, but I think I've given out maybe 12, 10, 15.
Yeah.
Something like that. To a lot of artists and to my professors too, because they, you know, they helped me through it. I gave Megan and Michaela one.
Yay.
Each two.
Cut me.
And I cut you. Just can't handle it.
Can't handle it.
It's too
good. But I don't even know where to start in terms of like people we saw, because there's just too many.
There's a lot.
Fucking awesome ones.
There's a lot.
Like, I'm blanking on, like, who I saw first. There was Erica Henderson, who is the artist for The Unbeatable Squirrel Girl.
Yep.
Which I've talked about on the show before. It's a really fucking awesome book. If you're looking for more of a kind of funny, lighthearted, you know, positive female role model-led story that it doesn't take itself too seriously, but has, like, a lot of admiration and, like, for, like, the Marvel Universe, because there's, like, most recent... Yeah, it's charming, and, like, the most recent issue, issue 5, has, like, is kind of like an anthology of, like, Squirrel Girl stories, because it's, like, a bunch of people, like, being held hostage, and, like, they're, like, they've heard stories of the Squirrel Girl, and there's, like, one story, which is told by an older lady, is, like, Captain America era, like, super patriotic kind of shit, and it has the classic Squirrel Girl design from, like, the 70s and 80s, and then there's one from... that parodies Secret Wars and, like, the whole Venom saga and shit. And then finally, there's, like, a more current, it makes fun of, like, almost, like, the Ultimate Universe kind of shit that's pretty good. But Erica Henderson was there. She's pretty cool. She's got really cool art. It's a different style.
Yeah.
And she's got a website where you can commission stuff. Who else did we see? I guess we can go around in, like, a circle.
There's Kevin Wada. He does the...
Tell us about Kevin Wada.
I think his biggest or most popular for comic book fans is he did a bunch of covers for She-Hulk. And he has this very, like, slick fashion editorial.
Yeah, it almost looks like fashion style.
Yeah, gorgeous. Like watercolor and inks. And he's just really cool.
Yeah, he's a cool dude.
Kind of dude.
So he was selling prints. Like, I'm pretty sure these are
nice prints.
I'm pretty sure these were, covers for the now canceled She-Hulk series that was like really critically acclaimed, but like no one read it really.
Yeah.
And it sucked. And that's what I hope, like in the Howard the Duck book that's going on right now is like they like kind of work in the same building.
Oh.
Howard and She-Hulk.
Nice.
And I hope that there's like more of She-Hulk now.
Some sort of crossover. I know.
Yeah.
It needs to be.
So
as popular as Hulk is, I always wonder.
Well, She-Hulk has like a very like cult audience. Like people like She-Hulk a lot.
She does, yeah.
Just because she's cool and like,
yeah.
She's unlike Hulk. She actually has like, not that Hulk has like no personality, but it's like Bruce Banner has the personality.
Yeah,
and it's like She-Hulk. It's not the whole like super anger thing.
Yeah,
she just like has these like super strength and shit, but she's still herself.
Yes.
It's not a Jekyll and Hyde type of thing. But speaking of Howard the Duck, that'd be a segue. I got to meet, I got a bunch of stuff signed. I got to give out mini comics to both Chip Zdarsky and Joe Quinones, who are the writer and artist, respectively, of Howard the Duck, which I've also talked about on the show. I talk about comics on the show a lot.
Whoa.
I don't know if you two have realized that.
Whoa,
take it easy. But a lot like Unbeatable Squirrel Girl, Howard the Duck is a really fun, comedic, kind of lighthearted, but has like little deeper themes to it stuff. I think Howard the Duck is a really charming lead. Like, he's a really interesting character because he's, like, this curmudgeon who just kind of, like, hates where he is. Like, he was zapped out of his duck world.
Aww.
And, like, placed in shitty New York with all these superheroes. And it's, like...
And he's a duck.
He's a duck.
He's a duck.
He's an ornery little duck. And I love him. And he's, like, becoming one of my... Like, I had a little bit of, like, an affection for him because being someone from Cleveland and how he's, like, supposed to be in Cleveland. Like, he's a character that was, like, set in Cleveland. There's, like, a little bit of a...
Yeah.
Like, connection there. Yeah. So, but now it's, like, even more so where he's just... This dude who just keeps, like... He's one of those, like... lovable losers, kind of.
Yeah.
Even though I don't really want to say that because it makes him seem sound like he's like just this dork, but he kind of is. But Chip Zdarsky writes it. It's a pen name. I forget what his real name is, but Chip Zdarsky, really funny guy. His Twitter's amazing.
Nice.
I forget what the username is. It might just be Chip Zdarsky because I'm pretty sure that probably wouldn't be taken.
Yeah.
And Joe Quinones is a really good artist. He does both the covers and he does the interiors. He's worked on a lot of DC stuff. I don't know how much Marvel stuff he's worked on, but this might be the first.
Nice.
But he did some, like, Zatanna and Black Canary stuff.
Okay.
And for those who remember Wednesday Comics from probably, like, 6 years ago or so, he did the Green Lantern story in that. And Wednesday Comics was just a really cool thing where... do you guys remember Wednesday Comics? Did I ever tell you about it? I had a really big, I had a really huge book at my bookshelf at SCAD, and basically what it is that it was originally published in newspapers, and like they like to kind of, as like a send up to classic like reading comics in the newspaper. So each issue was its own like newspaper. That you would open up and it'd be like this huge spread.
That's cool.
And so you'd have this huge spread that would basically be like, I forget how many, I think there was like 12 or something like that. And so each page would be like super big and it'd be probably like 3-4 pages worth of panels depending on the artist.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, like, Joe Quinones was one of them, and I remember him stuck out, but it had a lot of great people on it. And it wasn't, like, a lot of the, like, easy names, but it was stuff like Joe Kubert, the late Joe Kubert, who worked on, like, Sergeant Rock and stuff, and he was had a really great style. Kyle Baker.
Oh, yeah.
Who does, like, Plastic Man, and, yeah, and just other people, too. But... Can you think of what would be the next person that you saw that you remember?
Juanjo,
you gotta talk about somebody.
Okay, let me talk about. I had this Bernie Wrightson Frankenstein book that I bought from a different convention. That's
not
kind
just,
of a
not just any Bernie Wrightson Frankenstein book.
Yeah,
a first edition from like the 80s. Or
yeah, it's back when Marvel. Okay, so the Frankenstein book, which is basically just Bernie Wrightson illustrating Mary Shelley's novel Frankenstein.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a big 8.5 by 11 book that has the novel in it intermingled with his illustrations,
mm-hmm.
and it took him like 8 years to do, and he did it on his free time because he loved the novel and mm-hmm. stuff like that, and then they published it. The first publication was Marvel, mm-hmm. which is the edition that I have right now. Dark Horse republished it in a nice big hardcover, which I still want to get,
mm-hmm.
and it has a couple more illustrations in it since the original printing, but I found this at a convention, and I basically talked the guy who was selling it, talked his ear off mm-hmm. about Frankenstein, and he was just like, you need to have this book,
mm-hmm.
you know, like, I want to give it to you for free, but I can't do that, so let's, you know, strike a deal.
Yeah.
It was really cute. So
let's fucking haggle.
Yeah.
Haggle.
I met Bernie Wrightson last year, and I bought, like, a little print from him, and he signed it and stuff, and we had a little conversation, and I had a conversation with his wife. He was really cute. So, like, this time I went back, and I was like, I was so nervous and excited to meet him. I was just like, can you sign my book? And he was like, yeah, sure. You know, like, just really sweet.
And you can tell that, like Megan pointed out when we were at the con, like, you could tell, like, his face kind of lit up when he saw the edition.
Because it was like, whoa, what is...
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wasn't sure if he was going to say anything about it, but it's...
I saw, like, a grin. It was like
it's like a kind of a gem.
Well, it's a rarity. It's like, it's out of print. It's been out of print probably for fucking ever.
Yeah.
You know, so.
It was really fortunate.
And it's in pretty pristine condition from mm-hmm. what I've seen.
Yeah.
So, and but also Bernie Wrightson, who's older now. I mean, he's like.
Yeah.
And like, he doesn't do as much work now because his art was so fucking detailed to the point that the poor man has like. Serious arthritis.
Yeah, he does.
Like, he has arthritis problems now.
It's really sad.
I think he had other health problems, too, but it's like, cool to see him, you know.
To see him here.
Yeah, and...
I don't know. It was really sweet.
Mm-hmm. And then, that was probably, like, the big, like, the heavy hitter that you wanted to see, right?
Yes. Even though I'd seen him last year, it was just nice to see him again. for a lot of, like, personal reasons, too.
With him and his wife vaping.
Yeah, they're both like vaping. So cute. Last year, when I went to get my print, it was, like, on Sunday, and I was like, I have to pick this up before this ends. And he was, like, eating lunch, and he had, like, he was, like, halfway through his hot dog, he's like, you're gonna have to wait a minute. I don't want to get mustard all over your print.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, you can take all the time you want. You know, like, So his wife was, like, talking to me the whole time when I was standing there, and I was, like, looking through his sketches, and we were talking about, like, I just finished watching Twin Peaks, and some other guy that was standing there, like, mentioned something about Twin Peaks, and I was like, I just finished watching it, and me and her talked about that, and David Lynch, and then we talked about Mary Shelley for a little while, and, you know, they just, it was, I think it was cute for them to see that somebody my age liked the same things that they did, and vice versa, you know, like, it's nice to meet somebody that shares a love of something that's a little, I don't know, weird, I guess.
Well, yeah, well, it's something that has, like, lasted, like, has stood the test of time, is what I'm wanting to say.
It has.
You know, a show that started when we were, like, born.
Yeah.
Like, Twin Peaks, or, like, fucking Mary Shelley's Frankenstein, which has been around for centuries.
Yeah.
You know, so, yeah, and just the fact that we can appreciate
yeah.
stuff like Bernie Wrightson's Frankenstein. So, yeah.
Just the stuff that he does.
So.
Man.
And if you haven't seen any Bernie Wrightson stuff, then...
Go look it up.
Go look it up.
Pen and ink.
Pen and ink.
Hot damn.
So. Okay, so should I talk about Juan Ho?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, Juan Ho Guarnido.
Did you guys finally get that checked? The name? Like, yeah. Figure out how to pronounce
yeah.
Did you ask him?
No, I didn't ask him. I was sneaky because
you
there was a
very sneaky.
There was a woman who was, I don't know if it was his wife or whatever, or, like, just, like, someone appointed by the convention committee or whatever, but she said, like, oh, yeah, Juan Ho doesn't have to, like, she said his name. I'm like, yes, I know now. But anyway, Juan Ho Guarnido, long-time listeners of the podcast and Geeks at College
yes.
might know about me talking about Black Sad.
Black Sad.
Black Sad is one of the best comics, you know, you could probably ever read in terms of just, like...
Yeah, quality.
Like, quality that I can think of. It's kind of an artist's book made for artists. It's artist art. Because a lot of people love Black Sad. Neil Adams has done... a foreword for it. Stan Lee's done a foreword for it. And basically what it is, for those who don't know, it is a kind of anthropomorphic noir story following this private investigator named John Blacksad, and he's a cat. And before you go, oh, this is some fucking furry shit, hold the fuck on. Do you like Disney movies?
Yeah, I know.
Because Juan Ho Guarnido is a former Disney animator.
Yep.
And with that comes... supreme skill in doing expressions and, you know...
Anthro characters. Some of the best anthro art.
Because it's like you're basically reading, like, fucking storyboards.
Oh, yeah.
That are painted. It's like he does all the art.
Watercolor.
Like, watercolor. In the back, you'll see, like, studies that he did to get the lighting and shit. So it's like... It's one of those things where, like... Okay, ironically, don't judge a book by its cover. So, like, it's like, you know, we all know that, like, furry stuff is just kind of, like, mocked nowadays, but it's like, this is, like, the cream of the crop. This isn't fucking, like, shitty Star Fox fanfic. This is, like, supreme shit that is really well written, and his art is awesome, and it's been a huge influence on me, and I love, it's like, he's one of my favorite artists. So, Shayla tells me about a week ago, where I was, like, telling her about it, like...
You know, we were talking, like, about who is going to be there, might be there, because the list sometimes changes.
Yeah, like, Ryan Ottley was supposed to be here, which he was, like, top three that I wanted to meet, but he had to cancel for whatever reason.
Last year, Powell was here, and I was like, of course he was going to be here again. I just, like, assumed he was going to be here, even though he wasn't on the list yet. I'm like... Supposedly, like, he would always come, or he would, it's pretty regular.
And Eric Powell would have fucking made my day, because Eric Powell was probably...
he made my day.
Was, like, one of my favorite artists. Yeah. Like, it would have been amazing to meet him.
You showed me his stuff.
Yeah.
So it was this, like, secondhand, like, Taylor showed me this guy, and this guy is cool.
Harry Powell's the fucking man.
Yeah,
read the goon, please.
Yes.
But anyway, Juanjo Guarnido. So I meet him, and, you know, of course I'm, like, standing in line, and thankfully the line... Well, first off...
Yes.
Day one, apparently he wasn't here yet.
But his booth was set up.
Where there was prints and books and shit.
You couldn't buy anything, but it was just, like, a preview, I assume.
I guess. And so, like, the entire time I was just like, oh, no, what... Where is he?
Yeah.
What happened to him?
Was he
kidnapped?
There.
Was he kidnapped by Nazis?
Yes.
Or ninjas? Or Nazi ninjas? What happened to the man? Like, and I thought he was just, like, in a perpetual fucking, like, panel or something. Like, oh, he's just at a panel. Oh, he's just at a panel. Like,
he's been at a panel for 7 hours.
He's been was it just, like Juanjo Guarnido, like, but numathon? Like, fucking panel or some shit, like, where he just details, like, he just draws an entire volume of Black Sad for people. But, you know, thankfully, today, Saturday, second day of the con, we go, and it's like, oh, he's here, and the line's short.
Yeah.
And so I'm just, like, fucking bouncing up and down, partially because my feet are on fire, but also because I'm excited. It was about 50-50. And I finally get to him, and then, you know, like, everyone else in the con, I get, you know, I was like, oh, Juanjo, I'm such a huge fan. Can I give you one of my mini comics? And I love how I'm getting, like, freebies from
these. I know.
Which I wasn't expecting, but it's a very nice, pleasant,
it's like trade
bonus
system.
It's like tradesies.
Yeah.
Where so I pulled out. I'm like, oh, Juanjo, would you mind having a copy of this mini comic I made? So I handed it to him, and my mini comic, you know, features kind of an anthro character, kind of inspired by Porco Rosso and stuff. Yes. And he was like, oh, you draw animals too? And I'm like, oh my god, yes, I do.
I like animal people too.
Yes. And so and. Of course, I loved how the dude before us was, like, talking to him about, like, Donald Duck.
Oh, yeah.
And how, like, Juanjo, like, loves Donald Duck.
He had a Donald Duck shirt on. And he was like, do you like Donald Duck?
And he was like, I love how grumpy he is and stuff like that.
It's
which
very
is perfect.
Cute.
And, you know, and I wasn't expecting this.
Yeah.
And the guy before us that was also talking about Donald Duck, you know, he wanted a sketch in the little book, like a little original sketch, and it cost him $30.
Yeah.
And so, you know, and I was like, oh, that sucks. I was hoping to get one, but, you know, a signature would be great, too.
Yeah.
And then, lo and behold, so I give him the mini comic. And I'm like, oh, yeah, you've been a huge influence on me. I love your work. Would you mind looking at my stuff? And he was like, looking at it, and he's like, oh, this is really good. Much to my surprise, and my heart was like, oh my god, he likes it. and then he starts doing a little sketch in, like, one of my volumes, and I'm like, oh my god,
so
we just
cute.
Did a fucking trade.
You did.
We just did tradesies. I did tradesies with one of my favorite artists.
Tradesies.
And so, it was so awesome, and it's probably been, like, the number one highlight.
Yeah.
Because, and, like, you know, I didn't have a whole ton of spending money.
Yeah.
For this trip. And he had
nice.
$20 prints, which is a really good price for the prints.
Oh, gosh. I got a print.
For us, yeah, Shayla got a print.
It's gorgeous.
And, like, I wanted big. One, but I was like, oh, you know what? Maybe I won't, because I got to save my money.
But an original sketch.
But then I got an original sketch, and I was like, I don't fucking need a print. Whatever.
Yeah,
I got an original.
Yeah.
And it's got my name on it, so.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was definitely, like, the highlight, and I was just like, yeah. So, and just, you know, just shaking his hand and, you know, him remembering my name and shit, like, all the kind of starstruck shit.
Yep.
It was awesome.
Yep.
So, is there any, do you want to talk about Evan Dorkin?
Evan Dorkin.
Evan Dorkin.
Being adorable.
Yeah, Evan Dorkin.
Not Dorkin.
Dorkin.
I met Evan Dorkin last year, and he didn't remember me, but I had the same Hellboy shirt that I wore last year, and I remember last year he was like, I love Hellboy. I did this Hellboy short story, and I'm like, when did you do a Hellboy short story? And we were talking about it, and he's like, it was in this anthology called Weird Tales. I think it's going to be republished later last year. And I was like, oh, okay, I'm going to look for it. So last year I looked for it, and around Christmas time, I saw that it was out, so I bought it,
mm-hmm.
and then I brought it this year to have him sign it. So I came up to the booth, and he was like, I love your Hellboy shirt.
Yeah, it's like the same conversation.
We like had the same exact conversation, but this time I wasn't as nervous, so I was actually talking to him like a normal person.
Yeah.
Unlike Bernie Wrightson, where I was just like,
hi.
I love you.
Hi.
You know, like, he just couldn't say anything, but, like, Evan Dorkin's so talkative.
Yeah, he's just, like, he's a big nerd. Like, he just likes to talk.
He does.
He's like us, kind of. You know, it's like me and Casey and Neil, essentially. But if you don't know Evan Dorkin's work, obviously he did that Hellboy short story.
Yeah.
He has Milk and Cheese, which is, like, his own little, like, that's what, like, started him, right?
That's his big,
like, claim to fame.
Yep. Welcome to Eltingville Club.
Well, it was called Dork or something like that.
Dork.
Like, Dork's the name of the comic, but it was eventually turned into a pilot for Adult Swim called Welcome to Eltingville. It's really funny. You can find it on YouTube.
Yeah.
Of course, with the comic, too.
Yeah.
And then he's also done, like, Beast of Burden.
With Jill Thompson.
Jill Thompson.
Who's Scary Godmother.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, that's right. She is Scary Godmother.
Beast of Burden has crossed over with Hellboy.
Yeah, because they're both Dark Horse, so it's a company crossover.
So it's a fun... He does a lot of fun stuff. And then his Hellboy short story was about Roger, which is one of my favorite, like, BPRD characters. So it was nice to talk about that.
Yeah, Evan Dorkin's a really interesting character because it's, like, he's a writer that does more, like, kind of culty stuff, but he's had, like, you know, his... You know, thumb in different pies, basically. Like,
oh, yeah.
You know, he's done stuff for DC, obviously Dark Horse. Like, he did, like, like World's Funniest, which is, like, a parody thing of, like, DC and shit.
Oh, yeah.
Which had, like, Mixaplex. And do you know who that is?
Yes.
Yeah, and then Batmite, who is basically the Batman version of Mr. Mixaplex.
Yes.
If I'm even saying that right. But, yeah, and it's stuff like that. Like, he's... A really good writer. He can do both, like, comedy and a little bit of, like, the serious shit, too.
Yeah, he gets a good mixture. His comedy is, like, right up my alley.
Yeah, well, and it's, like, because it's, like, obviously taken from, like, experience.
Yeah.
Like, you, like, reading Dork and watching Welcome to Eltingville, you can tell that it's written by, like...
Somebody who understands.
An incredibly nerdy man.
Yes. Yes. Like, it's laughing with us, not
it, like, puts Kevin Smith to, like, shame.
Ooh.
Like,
ooh.
Like, it's, like, shit you would see in, like, it's, like, it takes, like shit you see in, like, Mallrats and Chasing Amy and, like, I mean, obviously it's not as, like, slick and cool as those movies, but it's, like, way nerdier.
It's got the same. Yeah, he signed my little book, and he was so excited that I brought this anthology, because there was a guy in line too that was like, what is that? I haven't seen that yet.
And what the fuck is that shit?
It's been out for a while, so I felt like I was behind the curve with the Hellboy Weird Tales, but I guess I'm not the only one that was kind of behind the times.
You're a fucking hermit.
I am. So it was cool to see that. He was so excited that I brought it, just brought it to have him sign, that he found these, like, little trading cards. I don't know. He just, like, gave me free stuff.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, here, have it. And I was like, oh, exciting. He's like, it's not that good. You know, like, but they're pretty cool. I feel like it's collectively kind of shit. I don't know. It's cute. I wanted to give him a hug, but there's a table in between us.
Yeah, that's exactly, like, you kind of want to give him hugs.
Yeah. I give people hugs really badly because I'm that kind of person. But I didn't.
Megan
found her favorite person.
I found Matt Chapman.
And who is Matt Chapman?
Strong Bad.
Yes.
I was going to try and do I can't do the voice, so.
Yeah.
I was like trying to do the
voice. Strong Bad, game for cool, like, cool game for attractive people. Yeah.
Homestar Runner.
So, yeah, Matt Chapman, the creator of Homestar Runner, was part of Indie Island, which is where, like,
Norton was.
Just, like,
they were, like, walk past him, like, wait, oh my gosh. And there isn't, like, that much of a line for him. I'm like, I can just...
Hey.
Hey, guys. Although we did get cut in line, but...
Yeah, by some fucking...
Where there was, like, dorks, where there was a tiny line.
Some and fucking fat nerds had the gall to cut in front of us. So.
Yeah, that was pretty awesome.
It was cute.
May their balls forever be blue.
But yeah, he, like, I bought, like, some figurines, because I'm like, I have to buy something from him and have him, like, sign it. And then he, like, asked what my name was, and I was like, it's Megan, but I spell it weird with an H. And he's like, it's okay. And, like, I just, like, notice, like, he's scribbling, and I'm like, he's spelling Strong Bad wrong. And then I realized he's like, there, he added H's in his name so you don't feel left out. I'm like, thank you.
Yes, it's to the point that, like, the box is, like, collectible.
Yeah, it's like, it's wrongly spelled. I'm like...
It's like a strong, like an original Strong yeah. Bad sketch and shit.
Yeah, with, like, stuff on it. It's like cardboard box. It's great.
Yes.
Oh, that's cool. Go for attractive people.
It's cute.
So that was pretty cool.
He
was
giving out bumper stickers.
Yeah. A Teen Girl Squad bumper sticker that's totally going on my car.
He had a little Homestar Runner puppet.
Yeah, I was like, can I take a picture? And he, like, pulls out this puppet. I'm like, yes.
Yeah. I might share that picture, maybe.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
But, do I have your permission?
No.
Fuck you.
Like, you don't have the rights to this face.
Even though I tagged you and everything.
Goods.
Yeah.
And to pay me royalties.
You have to pay me a $30 fee for that picture?
Yeah.
$30? I'm worth more than that.
You want to sell my body.
Yeah, ooh.
Yeah,
and
it was
my voice.
It was kind of like, just like cool, yeah.
Yeah.
Because it was like, that was like my middle school? Like,
yeah, it was the middle school thing in our middle school.
It was like we quoted Teen Girl
Holy
Squad.
Shit. Googled that all over the world.
We, like, watched it during, like, you know, lunch and stuff. I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
It was, like, the thing to do in the computer lab when no one was looking, you know.
Yeah.
Do that and play RuneScape while nobody was watching.
Yeah.
Middle school.
He's also working as, like, you said he was, like, a writer on Gravity Falls.
Yeah, someone mentioned to me that he, like, is writing on Gravity Falls. I noticed, like, he was popping up with, like, people on, like, Alex Hirsch on Twitter and stuff, but I don't know. No one quote me, you know, because I don't know for sure.
He does something.
Because I haven't kept up with it that
And someone said he, like, wrote for, like, Yo Gabba Gabba and stuff.
Yeah, that's what someone said when
he's, like, been around, he's doing stuff.
I posted the photo and people were like, oh my gosh! Mm-hmm. Yeah, so
that's cool.
It was really neat.
The next to him was Andy Siriano.
Yes.
Who does, he's doing a comic, like, a web comic, I guess, with Matt Chapman.
Yeah.
And it's called, like, oh god, I don't even remember what the name of it is. It's somewhere over there. Can you grab it?
No.
That big ass, because it was like a giant jumbo.
Ka-thump past this, like, poster thing.
Yeah.
Stuff all on the floor.
Cosmic
Scoundrels. It's fucking insane.
It's like this 80s.
It's gorgeous. It's huge.
And it's like a giant, like, 11 by 17 book. It's like full color.
Technicolor 80s shit.
Yeah. It looks
beautiful.
Like some shit like Ralph Bakshi would make.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. Mixed with David Bowie.
Yes.
So, thank you. But, yeah, he was really cool. He's done, like, Samurai Jack comics for IDW. So if you want to check out his work, check that out.
Super nice.
And, of course, and I can't believe I forgot to mention this early, but one of the main people I really wanted to see was Trad Moore, who we've talked about.
Trad.
Oh, yeah, fucking how can we forget about Trad?
I know, right?
Yeah, fucking idiots that we are.
Yeah.
Pretty
much.
If you don't know Trad, which is, I'm going to start every section where we talk about a new artist like that. Trad is a former SCAD student. He left before we were there, like, literally, like, the year before he graduated.
Yep.
And he's been making his way. He's kind of a huge rising star in comics, honestly.
I feel that.
If you've ever heard of The Strange Talent of Luther Strode, or its sequels, The Legend of Luther Strode and The New Legacy of Luther Strode, it's a creator-owned book that he works on as the artist with Justin Jordan, who was also here and I got to meet. And he's all, like, Trad's also been working on an all-new Ghost Rider, which, of course, sadly, was canceled, but he's doing a bunch of covers, and Trad's, like, probably the closest thing I have to, like, a quote-unquote friend, you know, of these creators. Like, I've met him before.
Yeah.
We've talked, and we got to chat a bit, and now we're kind of exchanging contact info. I might get him on the podcast, just saying.
Woo.
No promises. But we do have, after in the episode after this, we have an interview with somebody, but we won't say right now, but you know.
It's a surprise.
It's a surprise. Also a Scott student.
Oh, I was gonna say Stan Lee.
Yeah, obviously it's Stan Lee.
It was also
Scott
student.
True believers. There's your preview. Excelsior. Like that. So
he was here.
He's also a SCAD student.
Yeah. He's a grad student. Like,
yeah.
I don't know how to do these newfangled coloring techniques that you call.
He wanted, like, to go back and get his master's.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Like, I am a writer, not an artist. What am I doing here? But we all know.
Foundations classes.
Like walks in.
3D design.
Color theory.
I don't know, those boxes and shit.
It's just a box. I don't get it. But, you know, I can write the whole fucking, like, Silver Surfer meeting Galactus and shit. You know, but I can't do a fucking sculpture. I don't know why I'm making him, like, swear like a sailor.
Yeah, right.
I don't think he does, but.
I think that would be adorable. Is he's in his 90s and also is all about the ladies, not really.
Yeah. I just
love seeing pictures of him with, like, college girls, like, hey. Stanley. Like his cameo in Iron Man.
Oh, don't act like they don't want it, though.
Yeah, right.
You know. He is here, though. Megan was right. He is here.
He's here on today, Saturday.
It costs like, what, 100?
It was like 600. It was more than 100.
No, 600 was like.
To have dinner
with him and do the whole like meet and greet.
It was 80. Okay, you had to buy the 3-day pass just to even be considered for any of it.
Yeah.
An autograph or a picture. No. Picture was like $80.
A foot massage was.
An autograph was like 100. You know, like it would go up in price. Picture and autograph was like 120. You know, like it would kind of just. Go up in price depending on what.
Yeah.
You know, a 5-minute discussion was like $300.
Really?
I think so. There's something like that.
Oh my god!
I mean, there's a huge ass line for it, so a lot of people did it. I was kind of tempted to get the autograph or get the picture.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever the cheapest one was, it was either autograph or picture.
Yeah.
But then when I realized that you had to pay for your 3-day pass. Plus an extra fee, I was like, I don't know about this. I'll pass.
We already did see him in person.
Yes, that's so also why I was like, you know,
it's awesome as it would be to have a picture with him.
Yeah,
obviously.
Yeah,
you know, it's like bucket list shit right there. But
yeah,
you know, who knows? Maybe he'll
I got
fucking
to see another adorable elderly gentleman comic artist. So that's okay.
Yeah, you got to see Bernie. So that's all good. But back to Tread, you know, I almost like beeline to him at first, like, where is he? Cause yeah. I wanted to see him and Riley Brown. If you don't know Riley Brown, again, as I keep saying every segment, if you don't know this person, if you don't know Riley Brown, he worked on Deadpool, I think it was called like the Gauntlet or something. It involves Dracula and shit. It's pretty cool. And I forget what Deadpool's, like, wife's name is, but now he's, like, married to, a demon lady, and it's super awesome.
Yeah.
He's also working on the new Lobo, you know, the Lobo that, like, everyone hates because he looks too, like, handsome or whatever, but, I mean, it still looks cool.
Yeah.
And, he's got, I think is it Power Play? Yeah, he's got, like, his own creator-owned comic called Power Play. He was a big, innovator in terms of, like, motion comics. And stuff like that, and reading digital comics, because it wasn't just like, oh man, they moved like poorly done animatics that they didn't like flash or some shit. Like what they actually do is like they kind of take in consideration like pan shots and stuff like that. Like you'll and it plays more with the timing of how you read stuff. Like say you have a really long tall panel, vertical panel.
Yeah.
Initially, it will show like half of it. Then you tap and it moves down.
Nice.
Like, it's kind of like set up punchline kind of deal.
Yeah.
And he remembered me after I reminded him a little bit because I got to see a workshop with him at SCAD and it was pretty sweet. So I was like, oh, hey, here, you know, like, hope you can see it. And he really liked it. Like, everyone's liked the stuff. Like, I'm completely, like, amazed that, like, everyone's been so, had such great feedback for my mini comic. And probably, like, obviously there's still people that we need to see, because there's still, like, one day left.
Yeah.
You know, some people, like, I still want to see Tim Sale.
Yeah.
We want to see Francis Manapul, but he was gone.
Yeah.
Waiting in line forever for Scotty Young.
Scotty Young,
line
too.
Is, like, halfway across.
Well, we'll see how it is on Sunday.
Yeah.
Scotty Young would be crazy awesome to give him my mini comic.
He came in my class once, and I didn't know who he was, and I felt bad.
Yeah.
Because I'm game dev.
Yeah.
It's kind of wasted.
Yeah.
And
He's cool, though.
There's also, like, Jason Aaron and Jason Latour who are doing Southern Bastards. Jason Aaron does a bunch of Marvel books. So, which, that was the print that we got. It's also on the cover of the program.
That's cool.
So, that's all good. I think the final person, do you have anyone else you want to talk about?
There was that indie guy. I bought his, Megan mentioned...
Oh, yeah, the Headlopper guy.
Megan was telling me about this guy because she heard about him from
my friend in Kentucky who met him at, like, a very small con or whatever. She's like, oh my gosh, look at this. And I, like, she, like, handed it to me and I, like, look at the cover and I'm just like, Michaela needs this. Because it's, like, Viking with, like, a head that he carries around of a witch. And it's pretty amazing. You guys check
it
out.
His name is...
Andrew McLean?
Supposedly Headlopper is going to be published
by
later on.
Or something is what he was telling us. That he had a Kickstarter for the second book, and then he was able to work something out.
Yeah. I was able to buy issues, because they're only like...
Part one and part two.
Yeah, like 18 pages each. You know, you can tell, like, the first one was, like, his pitch... And then he had enough...
Yeah, part two is, like, 42 pages.
Yeah. He had enough kind of, like, fan base and Kickstarter stuff to get a second book done, which was twice as long. So I feel like this is kind of a little rising star series. It's really cool. It's got the Viking thing.
It reminds me a lot of what we said about Black Sad.
Yeah.
How it's like an artist, like a artist's comic book.
It is.
Because I'm looking at, like, the people here, and you have, like, Michael Avon Oeming here.
Yeah.
Who does, like, Powers. Mike Mignola doing art for it. Like, little, like, covers, variant illustrations in the back.
Yep.
You
got a lot of little guest people to do
things.
There's a trad one in one of the books. It might be the first...
In the first
volume, they have a little trad.
Yeah, so trad does one.
Fan art in the back. You know, like, it's really cute.
Yeah, so it's definitely...
I'm into it.
Definitely rising.
Look for it.
Yeah, Headlopper.
Yeah. He also has a really cute little Tumblr and Twitter from what Megan showed me. He does a lot of little sketches, and he was showing all of his con commissions and con sketches and... I don't know, he just has a good...
Yeah, it's Andrew McLean.
Andrew McLean.
Is the name of the artist. He does the writing and the drawing, and then the colorist is someone else named Mike Spicer.
Cool, Mike Spicer.
Mike Spicer.
Yeah.
Jack Spicer.
Yeah.
So.
That's probably the...
Was that the last one that you can think of? I mean, there was, like, little ones, like, you got this, like, cool, like, print...
Yeah, I got this print that was like Charlie Day.
I'm going to talk about this guy. So that'll be my last. But yeah, you got this like fun little like Charlie from Always Sunny print.
She's really cute, the girl that was doing it. She was coming out with a book from Titan Comics, which is a British company.
Yeah, Titan Comics.
And I think she was doing some artwork for them, and she had a lot of really cute, cool stuff at her booth. It is... Brother Nash by Titan Comics, and it's coming soon. Seems pretty cool.
Yeah,
her name is Bridget Connell.
Yeah, Bridget Connell.
I had a really nice conversation with her. We had a lot in common, just like, we liked the same things.
As I sat over by the garbage, like, nursing my face.
Yeah, so I actually saw that Charlie Day print last year, and I walked by her booth a few times, and I looked at her booth, but I never bought it. Mm-hmm. So this year, I was like, if she's back there, I have to buy that Charlie Day, because I really regretted not getting it last year, so I was really glad she came back, so I was able to, like, fulfill my destiny of having this Charlie Day drawing in my house on my wall, framed.
Yeah.
So that's cool.
All right, and then finally, this will be my last person, this will probably be the last artist we talk about. As of right now, which is Chris Schweisser.
Yeah, dude.
Who does... he's known for, like, Krogan Adventures, which is about, like, different generations in a family.
Award-winning.
Award-winning.
Woo.
Yes. It's like a... I believe it's all ages. He has ties to SCAD. I think he teaches at SCAD Atlanta.
Nice.
And I think probably second only to Juan Ho, it was just, like, a really interesting experience, like, talking to him. He was really enthusiastic.
Yeah.
He has an awesome beard.
Yeah, dude.
his art style is really interesting and unique, and that's very cartoony, mm-hmm. but there's a lot of, like, there's just a lot of, it's one of those styles where you can just look at it and you can tell it that there's so much, like, great amount of, like, principles being used, like,
oh, yeah.
in character design, like, you know.
Very thoughtful.
Yeah, like, very thoughtful in design and stuff and inking, but it looks so fluid and natural.
Yeah, easy.
Like the guy gets normal. Character design and storytelling, like, using different shapes.
Yeah.
And all that kind of stuff, and where to, like, vary line weights and all that kind of stuff. And
very, very nice, humble guy, too.
Yeah, he is. Like, he's really
so
cool.
Pleasant
and,
to talk
like,
to.
Like, before we, like, the guy in front of us, like, he was having trouble. He wanted to use a card for, like, buying a print. Like, a credit card.
Yeah.
And, like, it wasn't working because of, like, Wi-Fi. And, like, he was so apologetic, Chris was, to the guy buying the print. He was like, I'm so sorry, you know.
Using cash.
Yeah, he had to use cash. Like, I'm so sorry. But the guy was like, it's fine. Yeah. But,
using small bills, too, because he was out of small bills. And I, when I bought my little print that I got, he's like, you gave me a small bill. Thank you so much. You don't understand. And at first I was like, huh? And then I was like, oh.
Yeah.
What?
But,
it's funny.
You bought, and the print you bought, because you did a bunch of these.
Of course. It's like, movie posters.
Yeah, he did a bunch of movie posters. He did one for, like, Gangs of New York.
Guardians of the Galaxy.
Raiders of the Lost Ark. And the one you bought.
Which is The Thing.
And it's this amazing little, like, it's basically the letters, the title, The Thing, being spelled out in fucking creepy-ass, like,
the thing monster. The fleshy monster.
Yeah, where it's all gross, but, like,
and it has little nods to things in the movie, like the dogs. It has the first guy that dies, like, his head. And it's really charming. Caught my eye. I was going to get the Guardians of the Galaxy one, but then I was like, oh, this one's cute. And I told him it was cute, and he was kind of like, huh. I was like, but it is, like, the way you draw things.
Yeah, because it's, like, so goofy, but it's, like, such a grotesque thing. It's, like, it's a grotesque thing that's made goofy.
Cartoony.
And so, basically, I gave him my mini comic. I was like, oh, hey, Chris, I really like your stuff. I was hoping to give you my mini comic. And I have yet to have anybody say no, which I didn't expect, like, anyone to say no. Because, I mean, just out of politeness, I would assume. Like, even if they didn't necessarily want one, they'd probably be like, oh, yeah, sure, whatever, you know. But everyone's been like, oh, cool, because you can tell that everyone likes comics, and they want to read new comics. And I'm essentially giving them a free comic.
Yeah.
So, he gave me his sketchbook, you know, this big sketchbook that's super good. And it's, like, it's pretty thick, too. It's probably got, it's got over 100 pages to it versus my, like, 24-page comic that I made by myself, and he's like, oh, dude, like, take this, and, like, you want me to sign it? And, like, and not only does he sign it, he does a fucking illustration of my main character from my mini-comic, and, like, there's a little, like, watercolor drawing. Like,
what
he's
a
got
man.
He's got, like, a little watercolor paint set next to him, and he's like, do-do-do-do,
so
do-do-do, and I'm like, oh, like, I didn't know what he was drawing. I thought he was just drawing, like, a character from a sketchbook or something, but he ends up drawing fucking Roscoe, my character, and it's like, oh, what's happening?
Yeah.
This is so awesome. This is too awesome.
It just goes to show the kind of friendliness and kindness there is at this con.
Yeah, this
most
con.
Most of the artists are more or less, like, I'm happy to see you because you're a fellow artist.
You're what keeps me employed, for one.
Yeah, it's just like, so nice.
Yeah, because I think in the comic industry, and obviously there's dick bags in every industry, and there's dick
of
bags
course.
In the comic industry. But, like Megan and I were talking about, like, dick bags in the game industry, which seems like it's, like,
I don't want to
like, make generalizations and say that it's more prominent in the game industry, but I think it's definitely more. There's probably a lot of egos.
Egos
it's like,
is a problem.
Because now we're getting to this point where, like, you know, games are really being considered art, and now you have, like, these people that are like, I'm an artiste, and I'm not making a. Because you have, well, like you have games, and it's like they can be considered, like, three different things, you know, a product, a toy, and a piece of art.
Yeah.
You know. Not everyone's going to be one of the, like all those three things, you know, but a lot of them are like, I'm making art like Phil Fish, you know, the guy who made Fez, like that whole thing.
There's the whole alt games, hashtag alt games movement now that's like
alternative games.
Alternative games that nice. Are trying to, like, adventure out, which is really yeah, cool, but sometimes, you know, like...
Sounds hipstery.
Very, very hipstery.
It's
like, very cool, though. Like, I love
That's
it,
cool.
but it can, like, yeah.
It's one of those things where, like, it can be both, like, a blessing and a detriment.
Yeah, because then you got people that are like, you know, like, oh, you know, when someone wants to make, like, a simple, fun game, you know, like,
mm-hmm.
derpy, like, not deep at all, not, like, addressing any issue, it's just, like... Yeah, I don't know.
Like shit you'd see Markiplier play. Not the scary
derpy.
Games, but like
yeah.
Baking Simulator.
Like, I don't know exactly. I have to
and
be
shit.
More specific to things. But yeah, you know, and it's like, well, it's not addressing some deep human, like, flaw that we need to talk about. You know, or like addressing a thing. A view,
meanwhile,
which is great.
You should check
Those
out,
are great.
Meanwhile, but, you should check out my fantastic...
Like, addressing starving children and... Some Octodad. Yeah, I love Octodad. Yeah, so it's kind of that kind of thing.
So, but yeah, like that's the thing. I think it's like you tell that these are people that love what they do.
Yeah,
you know, and they're like, well, I just want it. Like, especially like guy like Chris, like who had,
yeah.
he put together a fucking sketchbook of 555 character drawings. In a book.
Yep.
Which you know
he has
if,
like little snippets about. His process.
Yeah.
Just, like, it's cute.
Yeah.
You know?
like,
who does that?
You tell that he just draws, like, constantly.
Yeah.
You know, and he draws so fast and stuff. And, like, everyone just, like, loves what they're doing. Like, obviously it's hard work, but it's... I think, you know, what a lot of people will need to realize is that the comic industry isn't, like, a real, like, glamorous industry for artists, necessarily. Writers... kind of, maybe, depends, like,
yeah.
you know, Brian Michael Bendis is, like, helping make movies, you know, because
yeah.
he's one of the most prominent writers in any company, obviously, he works for Marvel, but,
yeah.
But, you know, these artists, like, these guys are doing what they're doing because they like doing it, that they love doing it, you know, coming out to these cons, and these cons can be huge drains, but they love doing it, they love the camaraderie, they love interacting, they love, you know, kind of giving back in a sense.
Yeah.
Because that's kind of what it is, what you could describe this kind of con as.
I see it, yeah.
So, yeah, and it's like, with Trad, like, I gave him my mini comic and I got a free copy.
He's like, here, just take this entirely.
Well, like here's like, the second issue of the Legacy of Luther Strode, which hasn't been released yet.
Yeah.
For free, and I'm like, really? Which is one that I've been wanting to buy for the longest time, so... But, yeah, it's just really interesting, like, you kind of... It's stuff that you kind of forget. Like,
yeah.
you forget how much, like, why you do shit. Like, why you do this. Why you enjoy this medium of comics and shit, so...
Yeah.
People like Chris and Juanjo are just like the epitome of that. You know, Bernie Wrightson too, you know.
Yeah.
The fact that Bernie still like does this stuff
goes out to conventions and
even though he has
people.
Like physical stuff that's sometimes getting in the way of him,
yeah.
you know, enjoying what he loves doing.
Yeah.
You know, but the fact that he just comes out and does it, you know, it's super it's borderline inspiring.
Yeah.
So yeah. And I think that's more or less what it is going into the final day. So, now, to end it, what has been a few of your favorite cosplays that you've seen?
Ooh, there was a sweet-ass Poison Ivy.
Yeah.
And she had these little, like...
Fucking piranha plant.
Yeah,
Audrey's
her shoulders.
From A Little Shop of Horrors.
And they were really well made. Like, the rest of her costume was really cute and well made,
mm-hmm.
but those kind of just, like... topped it off, and then she was like, somebody had asked her, do they have names? And she's like, yeah, and she named them all,
yeah.
and was like, this one's my favorite, don't tell the others, you know, like, it was just...
Like, fun stuff like that.
It was really cute. There's probably others.
Well, there was the Jack Sparrow.
That was pretty legit.
That was, like, Dove McHargue, which is a professor of ours. All three
yeah.
of us have had him.
Yes.
He loves, like, pirates and stuff, and he's like... he draws Jack Sparrow a lot, and apparently he's, like, trying to build his own costume to dress as Jack Sparrow.
I could totally see
well,
him
yeah,
doing
I mean,
that.
I mean, he's already dressed up. He has pirate shit,
yeah.
you know.
He brought an actual flintlock pistol to class once. He's like, this is an actual flintlock pistol from, like, the 18th century. And we're all like, are you allowed to bring this in here? He's like, and like hands it around. And I'm like, oh, this is so cool. And he's like, yeah, I went into a Kinko's and some guy traded it to me for like something random.
For some weed.
And I'm like, what? Like, it was so cool. Yeah.
Not weed, though.
That's hilarious.
But that one was really good. Like, he said, I think he told me, like, it was better than the one he saw at Disney. Like, that
cosplay. Whoa. That's pretty cool.
It's pretty crazy. You can see it, listeners. Like, go to Facebook, Dove McHargue.
He has a page.
Yeah, it's his page. DoveMCHARGUE, I believe.
I think so.
Yeah. And he has a post. He has a picture of him up there. It's pretty damn rad.
He got some nice detail shots of some of his pieces,
little his dress and stuff. Things,
like, you know, his devil's in the details.
Mm-hmm.
That's like cosplay 101.
Yeah. Yeah, there was some pretty good. Like, there was today. There was that trio of like Raven, Starfire, and Terra.
Yeah, they were nice. Cute. There was a Nathan Drake and Lara Croft.
That was pretty good.
Oh, that's pretty sweet.
But it was like new Lara Croft, like new Tomb Raider Lara Croft.
Yeah, like,
and they were all like realistic, dirty, and they had like little walkie-talkie and little like cute little detail-y stuff. There was a Godzilla. It was that, like, kind of made of
duct tape and rubber.
Yeah, like, just really charming.
Mm-hmm.
Homemade.
It was Captain Boomerang.
Yes.
Which, he was walking around with Batman. That was pretty sweet.
That was adorable.
Walter Sopcich from The Big Lebowski.
Yes, with the coffee can.
With a coffee can.
God.
Any others? There's plenty of Harleys.
There was a Garrus and a Tali.
Which I never saw, but you guys saw.
Yeah.
They were really nice.
Yeah.
The Tali was really nice.
Like, you have to, but that's the thing with those characters, like, they have to be nice.
Yeah. Otherwise, it just kind of looks weird.
You can't, like, do, like, half-ass Garrus Tali. Yeah. It's just not, you can't do it.
A lot of Joker and Harley.
It's a very popular
couple. Yeah. A lot of Deadpool and Lady Deadpool. Yeah.
Deadpool's, like, one of the most popular cosplays.
They had the, I forgot what they're officially called, but those Star Wars cosplayers that are, like, around the world, they have a little alliance.
Like, Stormtroopers.
Yeah, they were at a convention in Nashville, too, and it's, like,
these
Stormtrooper costumes, and they have to have a certain specification. Like, it's all handmade stuff, but they're, like, the highest of quality.
And like, there's a Darth Vader.
Quality. Mm-hmm. Darth Vader.
There's R2-D2. There's like a little RC'd R2-D2.
There's two of them.
Yeah. Are there two of them?
Yeah, there's two.
Yeah, two different ones.
Baby.
Goodness, what else was it? I saw like a bunch of really good. But like
some really nice ones.
Mm-hmm.
Some, Jean Grey.
Yeah, there's Jean Grey. I saw a good Rogue.
There's quite a few.
With, like, a Femme Gambit.
Yes.
So, yeah.
There was something else.
There was a good Amethyst.
I like that Amethyst. There's two or three different Winter Soldiers.
There's a female Winter Soldier.
She's pretty badass.
That's pretty fucking rad.
That one was really, like, good, though, but it looked like the dude.
They had the arm. Even. Lots of Spider-Mans.
Yeah, there's lots of Spider-Man.
Spider-Man.
Spider-Man. Yeah. So.
It's weird to see what's popular.
I'm trying to think of kids. Yeah.
Little kids. Little girl dressed up as Link.
There was a big dude dressed as Link, too. Do you remember?
His costume was badass.
And it made me, like, just sweat from looking at it because of how hot it was.
Yeah.
Like, because obviously we're in the fucking South. It's hot as shit. And, like, this dude is wearing, like, a full-on tunic. He's got the scarf from, like, Hyrule Warriors.
Yep.
And it's like, how are you not, like,
leather boots.
Dying? I want to know about the Night Watch guy. Like, how is he dying? He was bundled
there was
up. Night Watch guy in full cape, armor,
like the
furs and everything. I'm just like, there's no way.
There was
like
a whole Mad Max Fury Road group with Immortal Joe.
Yeah, I saw Immortal Joe. That's the only one I saw.
They had a Furiosa, a Splendid, and then the flamethrower guitar guy, Doof.
Doof.
There was a girl dressed up as him. She had that onesie and then the skull face, and I'm like, you're Doof. And she had like a Guitar Hero guitar, like kind of pimped out a little bit.
Nice.
And there was a Femme Immortan Joe, too.
Yeah.
Who had a pretty cool costume. It was pretty badass. It was weird to see that character as a girl, though.
Yeah.
It was kind of a funny, like, Femme version. I don't know. It's cool. Mad Max.
Doctor Who stuff. Cassandra, right? Isn't that
Lady Cassandra?
The stretched out face thing. That's like...
The last living human.
Yeah, or whatever.
That original episode.
Like, the only reason I know, because that's like one of the few Doctor Who I've actually seen. I was like, oh, that's that thing.
It starts in Christopher Eccleston's season where it's like... Nice. It's an episode about how, like, they have a viewing party for, like, the Earth being destroyed, basically, in the far future, and she's the last living human, and she gets wheeled out, and she's
stretched out, because she's, like, tried to stay beautiful or whatever.
Yeah, like, just, or stay, like, living. So, she's, like, basically, like, literally, like, silly putty stretched and has a face.
And there's a guy that has to hydrate or moisturize.
Yeah, like, sprays her with shit.
Moisturize.
Yeah, moisturize. More powder. Yeah.
There's a little kid dressed up as one of the Doctor Who doctors.
Yeah,
a lot of little kids in costumes is cute.
Those are always my favorite. I saw a couple Star Lords, little kid Star Lords.
Those little baby Star Lords, so dang cute.
There's Groot.
There was a nice Groot costume. Nice Groot and a nice Star Lord.
Mm-hmm. Oh, there's Tina and Louise.
Louise
was really good. It was taller than
there's
Tina.
There's a few different Louises.
Yeah.
Louie.
Yeah.
Louie.
Plural of Louise.
Plural of Louise.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
But
Fiona. There's some Adventure Time.
Oh, yeah. There was, like, a Finn and a Jake.
Cute.
Yeah, so.
Bill. Cypher.
Oh, yeah, supposedly there was. I never saw him.
He almost hit me.
There was a Dipper, a Mabel, and a Wendy.
Yeah, yeah. I saw those. Those were really
they went
good.
To go see Matt Chapman. They were behind us in line.
Were they?
Yeah.
Was that who took the picture for us?
No.
They were maybe a little bit, a couple people.
Yeah, the Wendy was really good. That was the one that stood out. She had her axe and everything. I was like, it's Wendy. I love that show.
Yes.
So, yeah. That pretty much is it.
It's a good one.
Yeah.
It was a good one.
It was a good one. It's been a cool con. So let's hopefully will lead to opportunities. And hopefully I can come back to it at least soon.
Yay.
So I guess that wraps it up.
Woo.
You know, this will be part one of two in our Heroes Con coverage. As we mentioned before, we'll have a nice little surprise interview guest in the next episode. But until then, Megan, Michaela, thank you for joining me.
Yay!
And we will remain at large.
Is that the new thing?
I was about to say keep studying. I was like, keep studying,
right? We
weren't
briefed.
We're fucking done with it.
Oh, no, we're out of school.
Ah, fuck.
What's a job?
Ah.